Whosoever meaneth me. Amen. I like that. All right. Proverbs chapter 10 tonight. The book of Proverbs and chapter 10. I appreciate the good singing tonight. And I enjoy that. I enjoy some good gospel singing. That's one of the things I enjoy a lot. Almost as much as I enjoy preaching. But that's all right. So I became a preacher instead of a singer, I guess. I don't know. It's a good thing. All right. Proverbs chapter 10. And we are making our way here through, and I mentioned before, the book of Proverbs kind of takes a little bit of a change here as we go into kind of what they call the sentence Proverbs, and you'll notice they're laid out even depending on how your Bible's laid out. In my Bible, it goes from being in kind of paragraphs to being just one verse at a time right down the line. So we're going to cover verses 1 through 17 tonight. And we'll make some comments along the way. They're not quite as connected as before. And so we'll go ahead and just read the passage, and then we'll get into it tonight. So Proverbs chapter 10. Jack, can you find a spot there? And there you go. You good, Simon? Okay. Colton, you all right where you are? Okay. Let's make sure all the kids are taken care of. Grace? No, Grace is 18. She's not a kid, so that's right. All right, Proverbs chapter 10. We are very formal here at Calvary Baptist Church. All right. The Proverbs of Solomon. All right, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, again here, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of the righteous of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. And we'll stop there tonight as we look at this. Wisdom pays now. So wisdom pays now. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into this tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for just the privilege it is to meet together in the midst of a week. After a busy week and the different things that are going on in our families and our community, our places of work and everything, and just to pause that for a moment to come and to recenter ourselves in your word. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would help us to learn from the book of Proverbs, and to help our thinking become adjusted if that's needed. And Lord, that's always needed as we are a fleshly people, and often we need to even just be reminded of what we already know. And so, Lord, I pray tonight as we look at your word that you would help us to be honest with our own selves, with our own thought processes, and help us to adjust our lives according to your word here tonight. Father, just help me to be clear in what your word has to say here this evening, and help us to be willing to make change in our life where that needs to happen. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're getting close to summertime. Actually, today is summertime, okay? And so we have our schools are out today, so that's an exciting moment in the school year. And so it's vacation. A lot of people are going on vacations and looking at different things. So I made up an illustration, so this is going to be weird already, you know, but just here's a illustration. We're going to go on a trip together, all of us, and we're going to fly. We're going to go out of the Wellington Airport. Do we have an airport? We're going to go out to Wellington Airport. We're going to take a trip. The Wellington Airport is huge. There's a couple of airlines we can choose from. Okay, so here's one. The first airline we can choose from is Rinky Dink Airlines. Okay, Rinky Dink Airlines. Their motto is, we'll get you there. And they have a 100% success rate. They've never crashed. They've never lost a passenger. Everybody gets to where they're going. So that's good. But it is Rinky Dink. Okay, you know, there's not a lot of padding on the chair. You kind of have to bring your own. For some of us, that's very uncomfortable. And you'll have to go, and there's no in-flight anything. There's no stewardess people there. You just kind of sit and hang on and get there. And you'll get there. It just will be not much else other than that. Okay? The other option is a company called Highly Entertaining and Really Smooth Evacuations, or it's an acronym. It's HEARS for short. Okay? And it's a very nice airline. It's a beautiful airline. Padded. In fact, one of their mottos is, it's plusher than your grandma's casket. It's just as soft and nice as can be. You sit there, and they've got all kinds of entertainment in there. They've got everything. They've got like a whole buffet. They have a swimming pool in the airplane. And so you can fly wherever you're going. The only problem with the airline is it has a 100% failure rate. If you get in this airplane, it will crash. Every plane crashes. That's why it costs so much. And so you get in here, and you will crash and die if you get on this plane. But it'll be a great trip. It'll be the last trip you ever take. But it'll be fun. It'll be good. Now, if you had to choose from those two options, well, of course, you know what you're going to choose. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, and that's obvious. You would choose. Who cares what it's like? If Rinky Dink Airlines will get you there and Hearst Airlines will kill you, then of course we're going to choose Rinky Dink Airlines over Hearst Airlines. So that's kind of a stupid illustration. But here's the point. If you're having to pick between life and death, that's very simple. It's a very simple decision. And up to this point in the book of Proverbs, we have been given a life and death choice. We've been saying you can choose the path of wisdom that will take you to life, or you can choose folly's way, and that will lead to death. It will lead to destruction. And Solomon has done everything, including paint a picture. He hasn't quite sung a song, but he's done just about everything he can to show you that this is how it's going to work. Wisdom leads to life, folly leads to death, and so you need to choose wisely. And so that's very, very clear. But what about our life right now? What about the life you're living? Obviously, at the end of life, it's going to be better to choose wisdom over folly. But sometimes we are tempted by folly because it offers some good stuff right now. And sometimes the wise life, frankly, sometimes feels like we're on Rinky Dink Airlines. And so in this passage, Solomon begins to describe for us that wisdom pays off, not just in the end, but it actually pays off right now. There's some good things if you live the right life, the right kind of life. There's some good things that you can have right now. Now, as I said before, at this point in the book of Proverbs, we've changed. We've gone from long lectures to short sentence proverbs. And that's easier to read as you go through, but it's a lot harder to preach because they don't combine very well. If you notice that as we read through this, there's a little bit of a connection, but there's a lot of just, sometimes they'll be in a collection, and sometimes it's just like little gems along the path that aren't really connected. And there's different ways of teaching passages like this, and frankly, I'm still figuring it out. Not right this second as I'm preaching, and I know what I'm preaching tonight, but as we're working through this, it's not quite as easy as it was. And commentaries are not a lot of help because one guy will say, well, these verses are obviously together. And then another guy says, well, these verses are obviously not together. And I'm sitting there like, they're not obviously anything. I don't know. So I'm working through this. It takes a little bit more study on my part to put these together. But that's the negative thing. The positive thing is that as we go through here, there's going to be something for everyone. Because these little nuggets along the way are there for everyone, and they are centered around a common theme. I like what one guy said. He said that the book of Proverbs from this point on kind of resembles kind of like how the interweaving of a television drama might happen, where a show might go on for a long time. I guess I'm describing a soap opera. I just realized that, and I'm not endorsing soap operas. But you know, a show may go on for a long time, and along the way there will be different individual stories, and then there's a different individual story, and then they kind of connect at some places along the way, and sometimes in unexpected ways. And that's kind of how the book of Proverbs is here. There's some gems along the way, and they're not really connected. You'll see some things about diligence, and you'll see some things about purity, and you'll see some things about your words and stuff, and then they'll come together at certain points, and it's like, oh, that makes sense, which is kind of how life works, isn't it? You learn things at a certain stage, and then you get to a different stage and you learn totally different things. And then later you realize that they are connected because you needed them here. And you didn't know it, you didn't know that here or here. And it's just kind of how life works. As we go along the path of life, God gives us instructions along the way. And it's really a genius way of learning, a great way of laying this out. And that's probably why Solomon did it this way, so we can learn these things. And so tonight there is a little bit of a theme through here about how wisdom it leads to a good life, but it has a good life right now. And the way of wisdom pays off right now. So there's two sections here that we're going to look at. First, wisdom leads to a good family life now. A good family life. And the first five verses here kind of give us the father-son idea. It starts off in verse 1 with a wise son, and then it ends in verse 5 talking about the wise son again. And so in between, there's some things here that can help us understand kind of some family life things. So wisdom leads to a good family life right now. And we're just going to kind of look through these verses as we go. In verse 1, we say that a wise son makes a glad father. The parents are glad. The parents are happy with the result of a wise child, of a child that's made good choices. And on the other hand, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A parent that is burdened, or at their wits' end, or they're strung out, you might say, a person like that. And as a youth pastor, I've had a bunch of different teens of every different types, and I've seen some parents that are proud of their kids and that are a glad father, and I've seen some heavy mothers. That doesn't sound right, but I've seen some mothers that are grieved, you know, about the direction their kids are going. And you just kind of see that in their eyes as you ask them how their kids are doing, and they're just kind of, you get that look where they're not happy with where things are going, and it can be very frustrating. And that's not just the end of life we're talking about right now, about the choices a person makes affects their home life right now, and it can be positive and it can be negative. And let's look at a little bit into this in verses 2 and 3. We see that a parent or the home life here, the parent wants to be proud of their bottom line. It says here, treasures of wickedness profit, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. So the way our society works is we encourage, you know, kids to study hard, to get good jobs, so they can make a lot of money and be successful. Success is often tied to money, which, you know, that's not a bad thing to have money. But the bottom line, your net worth, is not necessarily what makes you successful, is it? We know that just from being raised in church and understanding that we have treasures in heaven versus treasures on earth. The bottom line is not that. The bottom line is what's discovered later. When your life is over and everything is called in and all of your life comes down to the end of your life, we'll see if it was good or if it was wasted. And the wicked here, it says the treasures of wickedness are going to profit nothing. They may have treasures, they may have all kinds of currency, but the currency of folly isn't worth anything. It may be a lot of points in this world, but in the end, it's not. In the end, there's not, it can't purchase anything. And then at the end of verse 3, it says he casteth away the substance of the wicked. And here's a person who has collected all kinds of things, but like the prophet said, it's like he put it in a bag with holes. It's like they just filled up a bag and had holes in it, and at the end I've got my substance, and the Lord has just kind of cast that away. Because in the end, the bottom line for the wicked, they've got nothing to show for it. And a wise parent can see that coming, can't they? A wise parent can see that. You can see that. I mean, not just a parent, but a wise friend. A wise person can see someone living their life, and if they're wise, they know where this is going. But if they're foolish, there's just that burden of knowing your bottom line. You're going to have nothing. Oh, I've got all kinds of ideas. I've got all kinds of things here. It's like, well, but it's not going to be worth anything. You're not laying up treasures in heaven. It's not going to be worthwhile. And it can create a not-so-good home life in that scenario. On the other hand, you have the second half of verse 2, righteousness delivereth from death. We look at the righteous, and then in verse 3, the soul of the righteous. You have the just person, the person who's right, the person who's living wisely. And that person is not going to be abandoned. As far as material possessions go, they may or may not be wealthy, but he'll be taken care of. And he'll have treasures that money can't buy. This is right in line with our lesson from Matthew 6, where we had the Sermon on the Mount and laying up treasures in heaven. And that's exactly what happens here. So a wise son is going to make make a glad father, and part of that will be because they can be proud of what they're investing in, of the bottom line, spiritually, not just financially. But then we move on here to verses 4 and 5, and while it's not all financial success, he does speak to some physical things here. It says in verse 4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." And this is talking about your work ethic. A wise son maketh a glad father in the areas of working hard. And I love this balance because it doesn't advocate laziness. He's not saying, well, see, since money doesn't matter, well, I'll just lay back and do nothing. But, well, that's not what a wise son does. And we're going to see this concept of diligence come up over and over again. I've heard some recent talk, and I think it happens every couple of generations, or maybe with every generation. They call the generation I'm in the millennials. We were born from 1980 to 2000, and so there's that group. You hear people talk about the millennials, and right now, unfortunately, we're kind of characterized right now by people that went to college, a lot of college-trained people that have a lot of this education, sort of, so they should be smart, but they're not really doing anything. Okay, now I hope I'm the exception, but as a whole, our generation, we just kind of too smart to do anything, and we're going to be rich without doing anything, and we know everything, and nobody can tell us anything. And I don't think it's just unique with the people born between 1980 and 2000. I think this happens every generation, doesn't it? There was a generation several years back in the 60s where people said, oh, all we need to do is just have love. That's all that matters. We don't need to do anything else. Just love, and that's all we can do. All you need is love, etc., right? And, of course, obviously, that's not the case. And here we might say, well, hey, treasures profit nothing. No, wait a minute. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Diligence is important. And here's a person who's poor and who doesn't, or who's lazy and he does nothing. But on the other hand, the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And in verse 5, he mentions it again. The person that gathers in summer, a person who's looking to the future and working hard, and he's careful about those things, then he's going to be a wise son. But the person who sleeps in harvest, who's just saying, oh, I don't need to do that, is going to cause shame. He's going to be an embarrassment to his family. Not later, but now. The family who has a child, who has a foolish son, who says, where's your son? It's harvest time. Oh, he doesn't need to do this, he says. He's just over there wasting his life. Well, yeah, that's going to be a problem with him in the future, but it also causes problems right now as it creates problems in the family. So a wise choosing the path of life, choosing wisdom, is a help on down the road. No question about that. But it also helps right now. It creates a good family life right now. But then the rest of this passage, verses 6 through 17 that we read, kind of open up the doors a little bit from the home and into the community. Because being a wise person, choosing wisdom, is a benefit to your community even right now. And I want to go through these a little quickly. He says in verse 6 that blessings are on the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of wicked. And the idea there of a blessing in Bible times is usually like a verbal blessing that has to do with privileges or even property. And what he's saying there is a person who's just, a person who's doing right, that's what just means, like justice or righteousness, things that are good and right. A person who's doing right is going to have blessings from those around him. There's going to be blessings on his head. There's going to be people that are saying, that is a good man, that is a good lady, that person is just in what they do, and they're going to trust them for things. They're going to prosper them in things. And it's not a guarantee of wealth. It's just saying that person is trustworthy. So here's a person who's doing right, and a person who's doing right is going to receive blessings right now from all the things that are going on in their life, and blessings from their community. On the other hand, the last half of verse 6 says, violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And this is repeated later, but the idea there is that violence is covering his mouth, almost like a filter, like a nasty filter, that nothing's coming out except for just violence or just aggressive and oppressive words. And so two opposites. Here's a wise person that's receiving blessings from his community because he's right and people can trust him and honor him. And then here's a foolish person, and not only are they not receiving blessings, but they're producing violence with their mouth. They're producing problems. And so instead of receiving blessings, they're making problems. Well, that's a problem, and it's going to get back to him here in just a little bit. Verse 7, it says, the memory of the just is blessed. Again, we see the idea of a blessing from the community, from others around him, but this isn't necessarily right now, as much as it is even his memory. Even when people think, after you're gone, after you've left the store, or after you've gone off the scene, or maybe even moved away, or maybe even passed away, people will remember you in a good way. It says the memory of the just is blessed. And you know people like that, that you can say, oh, remember so-and-so? Oh, man, that person was a gem. Oh, that person was a wise person, or that person benefited my life. And we could go on and on about that. But on the other hand, it says the name of the wicked shall rot. There are those that maybe their name is brought up, and it just kind of makes your nose hairs curl a little bit. Which reminds me of a story, because some things remind me of stories. When and this is actually here, because you do not want your name to be like this. When I was working as a paramedic, I worked in the emergency room during my time in college. And I would come back from work. I worked late, and so I would come back, and the guys in the dorm would always say, what happened today? Did anything happen today? And sometimes there would be nothing. It would just be sitting there all day doing homework, which was great, you know. But then sometimes there would be all kinds of things. And one day we had a day that was just set up for a problem, not for me, but for this other guy, because it was a very small emergency room. They had a PA, a physician's assistant, and a nurse and a paramedic. That was me. And the nurse and I would work together on things, and then the PA was there, and that was it in the whole ER. So it was pretty small. And we also that day had a student. Now, whenever you have a student, that just means that weird things are going to happen. It's just what happens. And so we had a PA student. So he was kind of more trained than us, but he was a student. We had this lady come in, and her belly hurt, okay, which is a typical ER thing, like, oh, good grief, your belly hurts. Go home and go to sleep, you know. But they did an x-ray, and come to find out, she had a lot of backed up blockage, we might say, okay? So she hadn't gone to the bathroom in a very long time. Well, the PA decided that we needed to take care of that tonight. I don't know why, but he decided that. And that kind of goes to the low man on the totem pole that's qualified to do that. Now, I wasn't qualified to do that according to the rules because I was a paramedic, and so normally the nurse would have to do those kinds of things, but we had a student. And the student was qualified because he was a PA student. So he said, well, this is good. Now, he would need some assistance, which fell to the lowest person on the totem pole, which was me, because I could assist. And so I did. And so I assisted. Now, I have no problem with this stuff because I don't have much of a sense of smell. It doesn't bother me, and we do this. So I was like, well, it's problem. And this guy, as you can already see the deer in the headlights, he's starting to freak out. And so I was like, it'll be fine. We know how to do this. And so I knew what to do. You go get coffee. You go get coffee grounds. Because we go to the coffee machine and we get these coffee grounds because they soak up the smell and they're really, it's good smelling. I mean, just smelling coffee grounds makes me feel good. Just thinking about it right now makes me feel good. And so we would go get those, and I had these little styrofoam cups of coffee grounds. Like if it gets bad, you just smell the coffee grounds, they'll soak up the smell. It won't be a problem, and we'll take care of this. And the guy's like, okay. So he's nervous and he comes in there, and so here's this lady in there and she's miserable and I'm there helping out, and he starts the job, and it gets bad. I mean, it's bad, and he's not feeling it. Okay, and after a couple minutes, you know, I mean, I'm not really smelling anything anymore. But after a couple minutes, he couldn't handle it, and he leaves the room. Okay, now here's the problem: when you leave the room, your nose resets, and when you come back in, you start all over again. So he comes back in, and he's like, oh, and of course she's faced the other direction, and you can't say anything because you don't want to embarrass the person. So it's all happening behind her back, so to speak. And so he's there, and it's just awful. And he is starting to heave, and he's got his coffee cup. He's got his nose in it as he's trying to do things. And it was bad. It was a very awful thing. And he kept leaving and coming back. And I kept trying to say, man, if you wouldn't leave, it'd be fine. You know, the stench goes away. But every time you come back, it just makes it worse. But I couldn't tell him that because the lady's right there, you know. Anyway, eventually we got her cleaned out, and it was a story to tell. Now, I don't have a reason for telling you that story tonight, except, no, I do. The reason for telling that story is because there are people, and we know people, that have such bad character that somebody brings up their name, and you may not have thought about them in a long time, but someone brings up their name, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that person is, that wow. If I told you what they did to me, or if I told you what I saw them doing or whatever, and their name rots, right? Well, that's what it says. It says the name of the wicked shall rot. Okay, you don't want to be that person. We're not talking about just after you die. We're talking about going through town and somebody sees you and they know what you've done because you've played the fool. And they see you and you try to get a job and they're like, what's your name? And you tell them your name. I'm like, wow, no, you cannot work here. In fact, I don't want you in my store. or whatever. Can it get that bad? It can get that bad. In a small town, does it get that bad? It can get that bad. And you don't want to do that. And what Solomon is saying here is, listen, the end of your life, you'll suffer the consequences for your foolish actions. But you'll start suffering the consequences for those things right now. If you play the fool, the name of the wicked will rot. It will create a bad, it'll make people's nose hairs curl, and you don't want to do that. And so we don't want to be a person that is brought up, and that's not at all how it's supposed to be. Let's look at verse 8. It says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." Now, I like this because it talks about a person has a good heart. Now, you look at people, and you hear that all the time. Oh, they have a good heart. The person has a good heart. Well, this is not just a colloquialism or a saying. It's saying, here's how you have a good heart. You have a good heart by receiving commandments, by receiving instruction. I mean, we've already talked about this. But then on the other hand, you have a prating fool. Now, I don't know what a prating fool is, so I had to look it up. What does it mean to a prating fool, to prate? I looked it up in an old dictionary. I looked up on a Webster's 1828 dictionary, and you hear that used a lot, but Noah Webster, it's a good name. Noah Webster wrote a dictionary, and it was closer to when our Bible was translated. I mean, it wasn't close. It was still a couple hundred years later, but the language was closer than it is today. So when you look up words, especially in your King James Bible, and you look up, you see a word, it's like, what does that mean? If you look it up in one of those old dictionaries, if you have one, and I don't have one, I looked it up online, you can find them online, you can look up a word, and it'll show you what it has to say. And here's what prating means. Prating means talking much on a trifling subject. Okay? It means you're blabbing about something that doesn't matter. Okay? That's what it would mean today. Talking much about a trifling subject. It's just like a constant, steady flow of stuff that does not matter, that nobody cares about, but it's a prating fool. And it just goes, it goes, it goes. It's like when if you have a garden hose and you want to hook up something to the running garden hose and you're too lazy to go turn it off, and you're not, you know, you just, I'll just screw it on here, and it goes, and you can't do that, because if stuff's coming out, you can't hook it up to another one. It's not going to work. You have to kink it off. And sometimes that's what people want to do with a fool's neck, is kink it off so you can give him some instruction, because that's basically the only way he's going to hear anything, is if you just stop the flow. The prating fool is just giving information, and it's not just annoying, it's a problem. It says the prating fool will fall, and the reason he'll fall is because he's not fortified. The wise heart, the person who's wise in heart, is wise because they're receiving instruction. That's their fortification. That's how they're establishing their foundation, is by receiving counsel, receiving instruction. A prating fool, he's not receiving anything. He's just giving. He doesn't even have anything to give. He's just flowing. And he's going to fall because he has absolutely no foundation at all. And that's a problem. That's a problem now. It's a problem because other people aren't getting instruction because they can't hear over him. And he's a problem because he's not fortifying himself either. Look at verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. So here's a person who's walking in his faith. He's walking uprightly. He's doing things right. And he walketh surely. The word surely there is not the girl's name Shirley, but it's to be sure of something, to be secure. There's the Bible word to put something in surety, like a security deposit. And he's saying, if you're walking uprightly, you will be safe, you will be secure. On the other hand, a person who is perverting his ways, who's twisting and disguising his ways, he will be found out. Adam and Eve did that. They disobeyed God. They're like, okay, we'll fix this. We'll make aprons. Okay. Well, they were found out. It was as clear as can be. And they were known. And their problems were known. And we've seen people who do right. And when they do right, there's security in doing right. You don't have to hide it from anybody. And there's people that do wrong, and they're always looking over their shoulder. And it says they will be known, that their twisted, perverted ways will be found out. Verse 10, we see the prating fool again. We already talked about him. In verse 11, it says the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. This is a phrase that will come back in Proverbs a couple of times, the well of life. And it's, I like what one man said about this. He said, people gather around the wise person like people in the desert gather around a well for life-giving nourishment. It is a rarity and they need it. And that's what you see here. You see the mouth of a righteous person, a person who's right because they've received instruction and they've applied these principles of Proverbs so far. It doesn't say at the end of his life he'll be great. No, he's saying right now he's like a well of life. People in the community are going to be blessed by him because he can give instruction because he's received instruction. So what he has to say is helpful. And so he has become a resource, a community resource because of his choices. He's a blessing to his community now because he's chosen the path of life. On the other hand, the only thing the wicked has is, we see this verse repeated, the only thing he can produce with his mouth is more violence, more problems, which is going to create more problems for him. I love verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. You ever know somebody that can make a mountain out of a molehill? You know, you have a little bit of strife, a little bit of volatile thing. I live in a home of three volatile young people. Penny's not quite volatile just yet, but the other three are very volatile. And it's very easy. We use the term stir up strife, I don't know, 17,000 times a day. And so that may be an exaggeration. It's probably more. And so stirring up strife is something that is like one of our pillars of our family culture right now. It's like, we cannot stir up strife, because it doesn't take much. All you have to do, and they're all experts with each other, all you have to do is push the right button and you can create a mountain out of a molehill. You can tell someone, you forgot to give daddy a hug and kiss goodbye when he went to work. All of a sudden, it's all over and everything. You didn't have to tell him that. You didn't have to do that. And I could probably come up with more things from today, but I'm not going to. But that's just how it works. It's not just with kids, though. Adults can do this, right? You know how to do this. You know how to take something that your spouse is just right there on and just kind of, you know, stir up a little bit of strife, right? I mean, we all know exactly how those things work, or how there's someone out there that we can just push. There are some people that are just experts at pushing buttons. On the other hand, there's some people that can take a mountain and turn it into a molehill, to take something that could be really bad and just kind of bring it down into a manageable molehill. And you know what you do with a molehill? You step on it and move on, right? It's not a big deal. And it says, love covereth all sins. It's not talking about hiding deceit or hiding things from authorities, or, you know, hiding a murder, hiding a body. It's not talking about that. Love covering all sins means that with love, when you truly love someone, you can look over that. You can move past that. And what a blessing when there is someone who is volatile and they've got a mountain of a problem and it is bad, for a wise person to delicately, almost surgically come in and say, now hang on, they probably didn't really mean that. You know, okay, and you just kind of, almost like a negotiator talking someone down from a bridge. You know, sometimes people, we're on the verge of doing something that we would regret, and a wise person can come in and just kind of talk that down and say, well, what is actually going on, and bring people back to reality. That's a wise person. Is that helpful in society right now? Absolutely right now. Because, I mean, I don't know that things under the sun ever actually change, but you take any topic in our culture today and you can find people throwing a fit over all kinds of things, can't you? I mean, we could talk about elections or bathrooms or anything else, and we can have people all over the place going crazy about all kinds of stuff. Sometimes we need to say, hey, let's be careful and not stir up things. That we need to be wise and see what the actual issues actually are. All right. So that's what a wise person does. That's helpful right now. Verse 13. And the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Again, the same idea. He's able to help others with his words. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Person who's lacking understanding, that didn't listen because he was lazy, who doesn't know anything, the only good he does is get punished so that other people can see him and say, okay, don't be like that person. What a sad place to be in, where all you have left is to show off your punishment so other people can learn from your mistakes. That's a problem. And then verse 14, he talks about wise men laying up knowledge. Again, talking about that bottom line. He's laying up what is important, but the mouth of foolishness is just wasting it. He's near destruction. He's always one step away from trouble. That's where he is. And then verses 15 through 17, they kind of give the same idea about investing long term. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He's in that way, the way of life. He's going down the right path. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. And I think I skipped verse 15, I did. But about the wealth, a man's wealth is a strong city, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So you see here over and over where it says the choices of a wise person are going to benefit the world that he lives in right now, but the wicked are not. And the problem with the wicked, and the end of verse 17 kind of tells it all here, is that he that refuseth reproof erreth. He makes an error. He makes a mistake. But it's not a mistake like, oh, I accidentally did something. I accidentally made a mistake. I like how James, the Apostle James, in the book of James, in James chapter 1, he talks about how sin works. He said he says every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed, which is how folly works, where it draws you away by something that you would want to do, your own desires, your own lusts, and it draws you away and you're enticed. You can't help your desires. We all have natural desires that we're born with, but we can help what we do with them. And so he says, you're drawn away of your own lust and enticed. And then he goes on to say, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He's describing folly's way. But then the very next verse is a very short verse, and he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err. Don't do this. Don't err from the path. Don't get off this. It is a mistake. It's not an accident, though. It's something that you can do on purpose. And do not do those things. You need to choose the path of life. And that's consistent with what we've seen already in the book of Proverbs. So what Solomon points out here in this chunk, as we put all these things together and close here tonight, he's not trying to convince his sons that the path of wisdom is good. He's already done that. He's already made that very clear already. What he's showing them, he's proving to them that wisdom pays off now. Wisdom, the path of wisdom is a very good path right now. Sometimes, not all the time, and not all the time here, but sometimes we may appear as if we're flying on rinky-dink airlines as we go through life. That we're going through life, you know, and you know, yeah, I'm a Christian, so I don't listen to any good stuff. You know, I only listen to old people and organs and funeral music. That's the only thing I ever listen to because I'm a Christian and I have those high standards, and that's, you know, I'm just weeping my way through life. And sometimes that's what we make it look like. It's like, yeah, I used to have a lot of fun, but then I got saved. Now I don't have any fun anymore because I'm a Christian. You know, I can't wait for heaven, but until then I'll just go along in this horrible world where I can't do anything. And that's how we sometimes appear in our lives. And that's not at all how it's supposed to be, because the way of wisdom is not just good in the end, it's good right now. Is righteousness and wisdom really that painful that we go through, that we feel like we're on this rinky-dink airlines with nothing fun at all on this? No, it's not. And is folly really that good? It's really not. So in this passage, we have seen that folly, and I just made a short list, folly, you live with constantly upset parents, a constantly upset home life. You're never satisfied. You become poorer and poorer. You become an embarrassment to others. You have a reputation that makes people's nose hairs curl. Okay, a reputation that people just want to forget about. People ignore what you have to say because it's just prating foolishness. They won't listen to you. It's the cause of many problems. You can only teach people by being publicly chastised. Okay, that doesn't sound like a good life. Now, there's attractive things in the way of folly that are, you know, for the moment and things like that. But when you really think about it, it's not just on down the road. It's throughout your life. And I think all of us have probably had our own little, or at least I'll speak for myself, I've had my own little journey down folly's path. And this is absolutely right. And if you've been down folly's path, you'd probably agree. Absolutely right. It's not fun. It's not, I mean, there may be high points, but for the most part, it's not a fun time at all. On the other hand, wisdom causes glad parents. You're never abandoned. No, never alone. We sing that tonight. You're secure. Your path is secure before God and man. You're able to be brought in to help squash the rumors and to turn the mountains back into molehills. You have the privilege to teach people. You're honored by others that can trust you, and so on and so forth. And these are all present day perks of going down the right path. And we owe it to our children, to our grandchildren, to those that are watching us, to show them what the path of life and what righteousness and wisdom is all about. I have a little personal mission statement that I wrote out here some years ago just to try to keep my thinking in line and some things I want specifically to do in my life. And one of the key desires that I have for my children that I wrote down, I said, I want my children to say that it was a joy to grow up in ministry. It was a joy to go through that. Because there's a lot of preacher's kids, not just preacher's kids, there's a lot of Christian kids that are raised in godly homes, but for some reason at the end of their life they go astray, and it's their choice. It's their choice if they go astray, and it absolutely is. It's not our fault, it's their fault and things. But may our kids never go astray, because as parents, we presented the Christian life as a boring, lame burden to go through life as. Because sometimes we may think that. It's like, well, these are the right choices, and so it's not going to be as fun. No, wisdom, the way of wisdom pays off right now. It is a good life. And we need to show that. And Solomon here was showing that to his children. He was saying, look, this is a good path. This is the best path. And it is blessings scattered, not just a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but there are treasures that are scattered throughout life, throughout this path, if you'll stay on it and if you'll stick with it. And on the other hand, there are problems after problems after problems that will follow the person that's going down the path of folly. So if you've chosen the path of wisdom, and I trust that we have, are you enjoying the walk? Are you enjoying the journey? Do others want to become a Christian because they see the joy that a Christian has? The song that we sang tonight, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That should be the song of our life, or the other, there is joy in serving Jesus, joy that throbs within my heart, and just being excited to serve the Lord. That needs to be our goal in life. It pays to walk in wisdom, not just now, but it pays, or not just in eternity, but it pays now. There are dividends that we can collect now as we go down the path of life, and as we do life right. All right, let's close in a word of prayer, and then we'll take some prayer requests here tonight before we dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word that you have given us. And Lord, I thank you that we have the option to use wisdom now and to not go down folly's path. And Lord, every one of us are tempted in different ways. We all have alternate paths that will present themselves, and there are lures along the way that may attract us. Lord, just help us to remember the truth that we've seen in your word tonight, that in our homes, in our communities, we will be a blessing to others, and we will receive blessings from others as we choose wisely. And those blessings can come in the short term, not just in the long term. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the sense to think of those things when we are faced with options. I pray that you would help us to present the Christian life in a positive way for those who are watching, for those who are deciding their own path. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be discerning and to enjoy the life that you've given us, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.